Film Twits. Ding.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Film Twits. I am Brandon, and along with my good friends Caleb and Dave, we are just three guys who love movies and love talking about movies, and we hope that our conversations are entertaining for others to listen to. This will be part two of our Star Wars discussion, where we are going to be discussing some of our favorite parts of the franchise. If you haven't listened to part one yet, episode four, A New Hope for Podcasts, I would encourage you to do so. In that episode, Dave laid out a pretty good argument, with 7 points, about why he feels the original trilogy is better than all of the Star Wars movies that have come since. His views may or may not represent all members of the Film Twits. But without further ado, let's get on with the discussion, shall we?
Brandon, what would you like to talk about with Star Wars in this very first initial Star Wars conversation? There will be multiples, I'm sure.
Yes. This is kind of like a what we've talked about doing is this is going to be like a monthly episode where we talk about multiple things that we like about the movies or what we enjoy about Star Wars in general.
Yeah.
Leading up to the final episode, quote unquote.
There's going to be an entire episode where we talk about nothing but lightsabers.
I'm cool with that.
How?
I just made that up.
I don't know if I could have a conversation for a whole hour about lightsabers.
I'm sure we could find out.
How much can you say?
What is wrong with you?
They're like swords, but they're like lasers.
You talk about the scenes they're in. You talk about how amazing you feel when you hear the sound. Like, I mean, there's plenty of stuff we can talk about. But what did you want to say about Star Wars, Brandon?
We were talking about what our favorite moment from the Star Wars movies is. Our favorite moment.
Moments
are?
Sure, why not?
The very first one I thought of was the final duel between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi.
You stole it
And
from
I stole
me.
It right from you, and I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I just want to clarify. Did you say the very first duel?
Final.
Luke?
Did I say first? I meant to say final.
You said final.
Okay. I misheard you. I'm sorry.
When I was younger, the scene stuck out at me, I guess more on a surface level, but stuck out to me more on a surface level. And as I'm maturing as a film watcher, I like it for even more reasons, but I've always liked it just because of it being the epic final battle between the good guy and the bad guy. But now you know they're father and son. And did we say spoiler alert? That's a spoiler alert.
It's from 1983. Spoiler alert's not needed anymore.
But when, because you're bouncing back and forth between this scene and the
battle
out in space and on the ground. Yeah. And anyways, Vader and the Emperor are trying to get Luke to swap over to the dark side, right? And finally, Luke reaches this point where it's like the peak of the battle, and he rages on Darth Vader, and the music erupts with like the choir, and I just really enjoyed that scene
Vader mentions that he will try to turn Leia to the dark side.
Yeah, so now, like, I don't know, looking deeper into the scene, so the whole movie leading up to this, when you first see Luke at Jabba's place and he walks in with his dark cloak and he like force chokes a couple of characters, and he's like the confident, powerful Jedi that you've always wanted to see Luke be, you know? And so right from the beginning of the movie, you're excited because, yes, Luke has made it. Although there's like the little hint of... you can see the risk of him switching to the dark side?
You can tell he's riding the line.
Yes.
I mean, force choke is definitely not a Jedi ability.
Yep.
That is something that dark side users use.
With him wearing the dark clothes, I think that's supposed to be a visual, he's riding the line.
Cue, yeah.
And throughout the movie, so you realize it's not just, like, so this final battle that's got to wrap up the trilogy, you're expecting he's going to face Vader. You know it's going to happen. But it's not as simple as Luke has to defeat Vader. You realize that what Luke has to do is he wants to try to turn his father back to the light side.
Well, that's his whole, like, mission throughout the whole movie. Once he leaves Tatooine and visits Yoda, until that moment, his whole mission is to find Vader and redeem him.
Mm-hmm. And the risk is, while he's in that final scene fighting Vader, they are trying to turn him. And I love the shot when, in the middle of the fight, when he kind of disappeared from Vader, and Vader's just kind of walking around, and he's talking to, oh, your thoughts deceive you, and then
Sister, and
you see it shows Luke, and he's got one side of his face is in shadow, and one side of his face is in light, and so you see that, like, this is the moment, like, you know, he's is he gonna switch over or not, and so then he comes out with his yell. Why in movies does the do they surprise attack with a yell? But
because it's got to be dramatic.
So he's going crazy on Vader, like he's fighting out of anger now, right? As the movie watcher, you're going, yeah, go Luke. You're rooting for him because he's beating down Vader. And then Vader ends up on the floor. He cuts off his hand. And the Emperor comes walking over laughing. And you realize, holy crap. I thought Luke just did a good thing. I thought he's winning.
Nope.
You know? But
he played right into the Emperor's hands.
Well, here's my question, though, Ryan. I don't mean to derail what you're saying. Because this is my favorite scene
as well. I expect you to, because it's your scene as well. So I was hoping you would.
So throughout the prequel movies, they always say Anakin is the one who is supposed to bring balance to the Force.
Mm-hmm.
But on just watching the original trio of movies, it appears to me that it is Luke who brings balance to the Force, in that he is able to utilize aspects of the dark side for good without succumbing to its power.
Yeah.
But arguably as well, in fact, Darth Vader, Anakin does bring balance to the Force because he's the one who kills the Emperor, leaving just his son, Luke, who is able to do that as the sole power.
Yeah, and there's that little, absolutely. And as he lifts up the Emperor to throw him over, you get a little quick snippet of Luke's theme in the music.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I always took it as Anakin balanced the dark, not the dark side, he balanced the Force because there was two Jedi left, Yoda and Obi-Wan, and there was two Sith left, Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader.
Hmm.
I guess that's not what you guys think.
No, I hadn't considered it. But growing up, I always thought that it was actually, rather than Anakin, Darth Vader being, because it's only in the prequels that they start talking about him being the prophesied one. I always considered it as Luke was the one who would bring balance to the Force.
Growing up, there was also no prequels.
Right.
until I was a teenager and you guys were young adults.
Thanks for rubbing that in our faces once again, you young whippersnapper.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, you were saying
amazing. Well,
I think
that's pretty much it. I think
that's a great.
And then the obvious when he looks at this is,
it's one of the best moments of the whole original trilogy.
Yeah.
And also what is even more impactful in that scene is when the Emperor is, you know, telling him all the stuff behind him, you know, strike down your father, become my apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks down and sees Darth Vader's
hand missing.
And then he looks at his, where Darth Vader had cut his hand off. And he's saying, I'm becoming my father. I'm becoming more machine than man.
Yeah, and you remember the vision he had.
Yep, in Empire Strikes
Back. When Vader's mask ripped open, he saw his face in
and
there. That's what he could become.
And then at the very end,
Rose's lightsaber.
Darth Vader's dying. Oh. And he goes, you know, I've got to take you because I've got to save you. And his dad says, you already have. And then we cut to the very end of the movie and get the original where it is the original actor, Christensen standing there.
Oh, you're talking about the special edition.
Oh, my goodness. And then they changed the music and they did the...
It bugs me that they changed the music. I always like that.
And showed all the... And in the moment the Emperor dies, apparently the entire galaxy knows about it and they're all in an impromptu party. How did that happen? Yeah. Apparently.
Naboo, Coruscant.
They're all like, the Emperor died? What, just now? I saw it on Twitter. Yay, let's get out the party paraphernalia.
Movies do that all the time. It's a progression of time. We didn't,
No, it was stupid. Because it kept cutting back to the party on Endor.
True.
They didn't need to change that. Agreed. But once again, this is what happens when you let that buffoon George Lucas, without any guidance from the adults. He brought us the originals, but he brought them with guidance of a whole team. You let him loose on his own and you get the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, very true.
And the special editions.
But I also like how he does have the option after he, looks down and sees what he's becoming to accept it. But he throws it aside. He casts away his weapon, his thing that could protect him, his symbolism of being a Jedi. And he says, no, I will not accept you or anything that you're hawking at me. Because I am a Jedi like my father before me.
I wonder what happened to that lightsaber.
Jedi. Sorry.
I wonder what happened to that lightsaber, the green one.
Didn't he pick it up and take it with him?
Probably in a cutscene.
I assume he's not going to be like, I don't need that anymore.
He might do, who knows?
I mean, he might, I don't know. Anything else about it, Brandon?
No. No, I don't think so. You were talking about the... I said no, and then I'm going to say something else. When you were talking about the end of...
30 more minutes of, of discussion.
Hey, Dave got 42.
True.
I'm sorry.
No. The end of episode 3, and they're fighting over the lava, and it was such a letdown of a buildup of the trilogy, whereas this one, my moment in episode 6, is
perfect.
Everything you were hoping for. It's what the buildup of the three movies should have been.
It was absolutely
fantastic.
It's
so contrasting.
See, I didn't even think the buildup of the trilogy was the prequel.
No, what you said. It's supposed to be a buildup because episodes 4, 5, and 6, but...
And in the end, you come away disappointed. You're like, wow, that's actually a fitting conclusion.
Well, and it's also a wonderful contrast to their previous duel in Empire Strikes Back. Because the context was so different.
Mm-hmm.
In Empire Strikes Back, he was just trying to destroy the antagonist.
The guy who killed his father.
Had killed his father, who had killed Obi-Wan.
Right.
Who had taken his friends, was torturing them. He was just going after him. He's saying, I have been trained now, even though he did not get all the training he needed, and I'm ready to get this guy. And he failed. And then with the context of the end of that duel, we go into the third one. And as I believe I've said to both of you before, the most emotionally fueled... definitely duel out of the whole entire saga of films, because it had so much riding on it. Just like you guys are saying, it had been built up so well.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think that they did well in adding in the special edition to the whole thing is Darth Vader saying no.
Really?
When he picks up the Emperor and throws him on that. Watching the original cut ones, I'm like, I actually like it when he... Because, he looks at the Emperor, he looks at Luke, he looks at the Emperor, he looks at Luke, he looks at the Emperor, he looks at Luke. It's like Family Guy, does it over and over and over again. And then he picks him up and throws him over the edge. I actually really like him going... Because it's the way it's done.
Hmm.
It wasn't dramatic. He's just like, he's deciding, he's deciding, he's deciding. He's like, no. If he, I like that. That was a simple thing that I.
If he said it just once, like you're saying, then I would agree with you.
Did he say it multiple times?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does. Like, no,
the special edition, he goes,
no.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm completely misremembering. I'm remembering it. He just goes, no.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, nope, that's enough. Done.
No, it's a total, like, callback to episode 3.
I take back everything. Everything I just said, and I apologize to the entire world for trying to defend George Lucas.
All right, Caleb, so we have 1 minute and 7 seconds left, so what do you got?
Oh, wow. That's make a it lot. Good. Well, I can't think of anything.
And that's
so,
time, so right. Come back for part two.
What do you mean you can't think of anything?
I was joking.
Of course you can.
So let's go back. Let's come back with me into the time machine. Let's go back to 1998, I believe. No, wait. 1997. And young Caleb is being sat down to watch A New Hope for the first time.
I thought this was going to be a Birds and the Bees story.
Okay, yeah. No. So...
Oh, there you go.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. It froze up for a second.
Okay.
Caleb broke it.
So, we sit down and watch the movie, and I'm just enraptured by this incredible science fiction fantasy story being shown in front of me. Just the amazing effects, the creatures, the just the world building, and this is just fantastic. Of course, at the time I was a kid, I didn't care. I was just like, this is amazing. This is such a fun, adventurous tale.
I forgot, which one are we watching?
This is A New Hope I'm talking about.
Okay.
So let's fast forward in the movie to the end. Let's talk about the Death Star trench sequence. One of the most tension-filled, most engaging, most just exciting sequences of any film I think I've ever seen in my entire life. And just rewatching it again last night, I was just enraptured the whole time. Because you start and you see the X-Wings leave the planet Yavin, get into space, you hear Red Leader say, "Lock S foils in attack position." And then you see as each of them spread their wings, you say, oh, they're about to, things are about to get heavy very fast here. And then I'm stuttering, sorry.
That's how excited you are.
They get into the battle and it's just carnage, just like the Death Star towers are, you know, firing off shots, and a lot of the sequence, and George has even talked about this. It reminds me of old style dogfights in World War II, between the TIE fighters and the X-Wings. This is also really the first time that you get to experience moments with the rebellion, because most of the movie has been with Luke and Han and Leia, but the previous scene before that had set up, you know, how dire their plight is right now. You know, the Death Star is 30 minutes from blowing them all to Kingdom Come. It's like, this is all or nothing. And so every time you see one of the pilots go down, you feel it, because you've gotten to not know them as characters, but their, not agenda either, but what they're fighting for, you're rooting for. Because also the main characters have been fighting this the whole entire movie. They've been against the Empire. They've been, you know, trying to, you know, figure out a way to stop it. And so, you know, Porkins, which is an awful name. I don't know. That was awful, George.
Like Poe.
Especially because the man was very hefty. That's going to be a meme forever because of that. Or Biggs, because you knew that he was Luke's best friend. Or, you know, when Wedge has his moments, it's just, it's fantastic. And when the camera pans down, when you're in the X-Wing to go into the canyon, you're there. You're with the pilot, and you're tracking them as they are on their journey to, you know, it could be certain death. Something I noticed last night as I was rewatching the scene is just how these guys, in a sense, are on a suicide run because the X-Wings have no back cannons.
Right.
They are front and center on a mission, a goal. And if Darth Vader or his other two TIE guys shoot them, they're gone.
They know that. They knew that going into it. You know, they knew it was a suicide mission with a very small probability of success.
Yeah.
But they knew it was a one-way ticket going into it, but they're still going to do it.
Exactly. And it's just, it's such a fantastic sequence. It's so well done. Also, one of the earliest, as far as I can tell, one of the earliest examples of Deus Ex Machina, when Luke is pinned against the wall, Vader and both of his TIE guys are right on his tail. He's listened to Obi-Wan's advice and said, turned off his targeting computer, and he's just using the Force to get to his target. And as far as we can tell as the audience, Vader has him in his sights, and he's a goner. He's about to be gone. And out of nowhere, old Rogue, you know, I hate everyone, I'm all in this for myself, Han Solo comes in there and saves the day. And it's just, it's one of those moments in cinema similar to what we've talked about with the Avengers Endgame scene. You both know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Where it just makes you feel this rush of excitement and joy because of the progression that these events have taken.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let's blow this thing, kid, and go home. And then everyone zooms away. John Williams' score starts building.
Yeah.
Bump, 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 bump. And you see Tarkin one more moment as he's in his final moment of glory, of destroying the rebellion. It's right there in his grasp.
And then, boom. It's over.
And he's Stardust.
Yeah.
It's just, it's...
That's a great scene.
So incredible. And one, in my opinion, one of the best sequences out of all of Star Wars.
Yeah. I'd like to point out, as we started this, and I was talking about how wonderful the original trilogy is compared to all the other ones, and how there really are only three Star Wars movies. As I said, both of you picked your favorite movies from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Your favorite moments.
Well, for me, it's because, well, one, they're fantastic. And that scene that I described, I mean, that goes back to probably the first time I watched that movie. So it's more ingrained in my brain than scenes from the newer movies. I will say the entirety of Rogue One is another very big top moment for me. Anyway, before Dave can respond to that.
Agreed.
when we decided to do this for this episode, I think in my mind I was thinking we should do moments from the trilogy, from the first trilogy tonight, and then later episodes we can do other movies or whatever. But that was my own thinking.
Top moment, though. God, what? You can just say it.
What?
What?
Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker, out of all of the movies, that's your top moment. You can say
probably.
It.
Probably.
It's okay. I can, and for anybody listening, I can translate. Dave was right.
Partially right.
You're partially on board again?
Partially on right. Board. Oh my gosh.
It's like how we speak the same language, but you have extra vowels in there that are not needed. You're almost
extra,
right.
Extra words.
You're almost all the way right.
Right. You're one of those people. The language wasn't perfected until you guys came along, right? Well, that was interesting. That was entertaining.
Yeah.
If you have any thoughts, concerns, issues, feedback, opinions. You know,
and tell us what your favorite moments are. I mean, if you truly love, like, when Finn and Rose are riding around on those horse creatures in Canto Bight,
Please let us know. Why. Please let us know.
Tell us why and explain it.
Please.
And maybe we could see differently, but probably not.
I implore you. Probably not. Please allow me to respond to that. Please let me know.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell us what you think. Tell us what you like. And remember to follow us on all forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
We're immediately showing our age.
We're all over the place.
You know, all those newfangled things on your phone computer.
Our podcast host, Anchor, has allowed us to be sent all over the place. So you can literally find us on Spotify, on Twitch, on Stitcher.
What are all these podcasts? Are you just making stuff up now?
I don't know if we're on Apple Podcasts yet, but we'll be there soon. So
if just I could look type for it, us.
And like I said, we've been the Film Twits. This has been. Oh, we are on Apple Podcasts. So oh, really? Apple Podcasts.
Hey, congratulations hey, to us.
Slash the Film Twists. Twists? No. Twists. Not Twists.
The Film Twits. Twits.
And we'll be looking forward to talking with each other and, you know, talking with our hopefully future fan base sometime soon.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I want to know who likes the new movies compared to the old movies. I'd be really interested to find your thoughts. So feel free to put as many Twitter things as you want.
Twitter tweets.
Tweet is that what they're called?
Tweets.
Tweets.
Just don't tell us you like it because it's subjective, because then you will be banned.
Do you mean subversive?
Subversive, yes, not subjective.
Subjective is perfectly okay. That's all I have is subjective opinion.
If you're subjective, it's okay. But if you're like, I like The Last Jedi because it's subversive and it subverts expectations, then you will be banned.
We're not going to ban you, but you will be mocked incessantly. Your name will be called out, no doubt, in multiple public arenas.
Absolutely, but please, you have no fear.
You will be dragged through the street by your hair.
We don't know who you are. We don't know where you live. We have no means of finding you, but you will suffer somehow.
Let's do some improvisational
comedy. All right, so thanks for listening. We are the Film Twits, and bye. We will talk to you next time. Goodbye.